Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in on this Tuesday night to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me. Ole Miss basketball just wrapped up a win. Not their best performance tonight, although a win is a win. And you look around college basketball, and sometimes it's just good to get one of those. And, I mean, Arkansas is in a dogfight right now with Winthrop. Texas A&M is in a dogfight right now, although it looks like they're going to escape. Montana tonight. So a difficult night around the SEC, as it seems. And Ole Miss escapes with a win, which is obviously the most important thing. But I'm glad you guys are here. We're obviously going to talk about the obvious, and that is more Lane Kiffin discussion. He was on with Pat McAfee today, and that interview, to me, didn't clear much of anything, although it did offer a new angle or a new layer, which is the ultimatum conversation. So we'll talk about that tonight, and also the college football playoff rankings. I hope we have time for that on this edition of the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Wherever you get your podcast, just search for the name Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And wherever you are in Mississippi, if you want a good car buying experience, Toyota of Brookhaven is the place to get one. They're off of Exit 40 in Brookhaven. They'll also give you $1,000 off on me. $1,000 off if you just simply tell them that I sent you, because that's what they do at Toyota of Brookhaven. They'll take care of you in many different ways. They'll do it with their highest rated service department, one of the highest rated service departments in the state. And they will do it by giving you $1,000 off on me. They'll do it with their in-house financing, an outstanding new and used selection of vehicles. Check them out, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. So Lane Kiffin goes on the Pat McAfee show today. And it was a recorded interview. I don't think that particularly matters much. I mean, maybe there was practice obligations or whatever. I don't know. But the fact that it was recorded is not necessarily a big deal. It was just the fact that he was going to talk for the first time since really things started heating up in a rather dramatic way. They play the Florida game. The post game happens. We've talked about that. But Sunday happens, and his ex-wife and his son well-documentedly fly to Gainesville. You've got some reporting on Florida's On3 site about the specifics of that visit and certain high schools that were visited on that visit. And then obviously the next day, family travels to Baton Rouge. And that is a situation that I don't know if you're Ole Miss what you can do. I think that they really can't, quote unquote, prevent that. I do think it's fascinating. And this is partially why nationally Lane Kiffin's losing the PR battle, is that is not a requirement here. I understand and respect, frankly, the due diligence side of this. If you need to know. I've told you guys before, I have been approached in the past by other media companies, and I listened. I researched them. I did some due diligence. It's not quite the same, but I looked into it. I told them no, because I love where I am. I truly mean that. And so I have no interest and had no interest in going anywhere else, but I took a phone call. That happens in coaching all the time. All the time. As you guys know, what I think is a problem is the way that you, the fans, are treated in all of this. And that's well documented. We don't need to go through that again tonight. My stance on that is very clear. I think that the way this is being handled is a joke. And you guys are the ones that have to deal with the worst of it. And I don't like that. I don't like seeing fans get treated this way, especially ones that have stepped up in every imaginable level to support this person, and you're being trolled along the way. So that is my stance on that. You know that. What doesn't have to happen, though, is a very public flight that lands on your doorstep, and it's almost like LSU was taunting you in a way with how easily accessible all of that information was. Usually those things happen in the shadows. Usually they do. and that did not. And you've seen, by and large, nationally, the media discourse around all of that is pretty negative about him in particular. Most people, when the ultimatum happened, more on that in a second, were very fair to Ole Miss about it. It's like, yeah, you can't really let this linger much longer. Why? And there's a lot of, why would you be doing this? If you're Lane Kiffin, why? Why are you like letting this fester so publicly? He's losing the PR game nationally. This concept that, oh, it's just 4D chess and he's playing a game with everybody. And I mean, maybe that is what's happening here. But whatever is going on, the national perception of him is he's handling this poorly. The documentary and the PR campaign to get people to think that he's changed and different and all that stuff, this is wiping a lot of that away from a national perspective. So he goes on Pat McAfee to try to rectify a lot of that. And it was very obvious from the beginning that that was not a real interview. That was an image cleanser. That was PR is what that was. And there are some people that are very critical of Pat McAfee for the manner in which he conducted that interview. I understand that. From a journalistic perspective, he did a horrible job today. But Pat McAfee's not a journalist. He's an entertainer. And the lines have been blurred between those two things. They're a lot more blurry than they used to be. There's no doubt about it. But he is not a journalist. So you shouldn't expect hard-hitting journalism from a guy that he is an entertainer. Those are two different things. Very clearly in that interview, he was told ahead of time, some things are off limits. That was a sales pitch. That was damage control. That's what that was. And you know that because he was not asked in any way, shape, or form, actually asked about LSU or Florida. He was not asked about flights. He wasn't asked about family. He wasn't asked about any of that. He wasn't asked hard questions, and that's okay because Pat did his job as an entertainer, and I assume the numbers on that interview were outstanding. But it was fake. That's the real word. It was fake. It was overtly positive to the point where it was kind of bizarre. If you watch every single media thing that Kiffin does, like I have to, you can tell that was out of character, almost trying to be something you're not, which is overtly positive. He's not overtly positive. His personality, he's more dry, very funny, very smart. He's a smart guy. But it's a lot more dry in that setting than that. And that was like rah-rah cheerleader type stuff. And that to me felt like, maybe I'm wrong, it felt like, though, that was a PR attempt to do some damage control about the national perception of his image and the way he's treating his program. Because, again, we're not talking about me. Nationally, the way he is handling this is being heavily, heavily criticized. Heavily criticized. So that's what that was. We didn't learn anything in that interview. We really didn't. There are things that if you're looking for positive spin, you can take away as really positive. You can watch the same interview and find, I think Brandon Walker, of all people, said this. I think it was him. You can find half a dozen things that made you think that he would never leave Ole Miss in a million years, and then half a dozen things that makes you think that he is on the first flight out of town. And so there's really nothing you can take away from that. Just like the Dellinger interview last week, just like anything post-game, good or bad, anything on Twitter, whatever, there's always doubt that is left behind. And this can very easily go away if he wanted it to, but for some reason, he is choosing not to, and I don't want to hear a response that involves policy, because that policy, air quotes, the policy about we don't talk about jobs here, is clearly a cop-out and not actually how it's being handled behind the scenes, because behind the scenes has become in front of the scenes. And this idea that you don't discuss other jobs at all during the season is obviously bogus when your family members are flying to the two places that are so desperate to hire you, when your representation is very clearly fielding offers from both your institution and also these other ones as well. This circus does not become a circus without discussing these jobs before your season's over. So the policy part of it is just wrong. So you're choosing not to end it for whatever reason, but you could. You could, and he's choosing not to, which we'll get to that here in a little while, I suppose. I assume you have messages out there. But the PR game is a losing one for him. The narrative around this is against him nationally. And the interview today didn't change anything. It did bring up the point about the ultimatum. And we talked about that on Sunday some, where it's been reported, and even after the interview, it's still been reported that Ole Miss is asking for an answer on his future, and they need it and want it soon. He said, when asked the only real journalism that McAfee did, he said that there was no truth, there's no ultimatum or anything of any kind. Talked about how he and Keith Carter go to hot yoga together, and come here, Kiwan, come on in and show everybody how awesome you are. But no ultimatum in any way, shape, or form. You're playing a semantics game. That is what's going on. There's a segment of the fan base that refuses to believe that, and that's fine. I wish that I had the ability to just believe everything that a coach said, but there's semantics being played. Ole Miss did not say, Keith Carter did not go to him and say, I need an answer by Thursday, and if you don't give me one, you are fired. That's an ultimatum. That's not what's been communicated, but it has been communicated, and well-respected, informed journalists have said as much. Ole Miss is asking for an answer by a certain day. They are. What is their leverage? I assume the leverage is, we'll not let you coach in the playoffs. There's a line of thinking that this could drag out until the Egg Bowl. I would be surprised still if this drags out into the Egg Bowl. And here is why I feel that way. The timeline still doesn't make sense. And allow me to defend Lane Kiffin here for a second as well. I think it would be incorrect for me not to defend Lane when it comes to this in particular. The timeline with jobs in college sports is so jacked up and so wrong and so, forgive my language, ass backwards, that somebody in his position that wants to explore open jobs, because in part he is the prime candidate, he is the golden goose in college football right now, he can't do that without doing it during the season. Now, again, you can handle it a lot better. You could have operated in the shadows. You could have not trolled your own fan base. You could have not taken shots at your own fan base. You could have not publicly sent your family on a jet right on Ole Miss's front door down to Baton Rouge and back. Like, all of that was handled poorly. It could have been handled differently. But in his defense, the timeline is so screwed up that you have no choice but to start doing this now. None of these parties can afford to wait. None of them. And that's why Ole Miss is fair and fine and justified and being defended about the ultimatum. That's really not one, but kind of is semantics. And that's why LSU and Florida are so desperate, because as you guys know, but I'm learning nationally, not a lot of people understand that signing day, I keep saying December 2nd, I believe signing day is December 3rd. I keep saying the 2nd, but it's actually the 3rd. It's 2 weeks from tomorrow. Today, as most of you are listening to this, is National Signing Day. That is 17 days before the first playoff game. And then obviously the portal window opens a day after playoff games as well. The reporting that LSU was willing to wait until after the playoffs to hire their coach, I think, is inaccurate. LSU is not willing. There's no way. I mean, again, maybe I'm just wrong. There's no way logically that LSU will wait into January without knowing who their coach is going to be. Maybe they're willing to wait to accept him as their coach publicly, but there is no way that LSU is waiting until January for an answer, because you cannot, especially in a wins now or else time, you cannot miss signing day, and you cannot jeopardize missing the only portal window. Because again, there's not two, there's only one now. You cannot jeopardize that. Florida can't afford that either. In a win now situation, you can't let that drag out. Ole Miss, obviously, same goes for them. You cannot go into January without knowing who your coach is going to be. And that answer, it has to be given soon. Because again, if LSU's not getting Lane Kiffin, they can't wait until the middle of January to bring in a new coach or to know who their new coach is going to be. There's no way to me. You have to know sooner. And so even though that's what's being talked about, I don't think that it will get to the Egg Bowl without some finality at least leaking out. Even if it's not handled publicly, I don't think you're getting any kind of finality until then. And so it puts a coach like Kiffin in such a bad spot where very clearly, I think anyway, it's obvious that the preference would be to decide later, that he would prefer to know later and prefer to coach the playoff and prefer to coach the Egg Bowl and not have to do all this until later. Because as we've talked about, not only has this been one hell of a coaching job, it's been an outstanding coaching job this season from Lane Kiffin and his staff. Truly has been. And clearly the sideline demeanor and everything is that of somebody that is hyper engaged with the results on the field. There's no way that a competitor like him, on the precipice of the first time he's ever been a head coach in a playoff, would prefer this to be how this all goes down. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I truly believe that it's being handled poorly because he doesn't know how to handle it, because this is a weird situation and the timeline is all messed up. Maybe I'm naive, but I don't think that a lot of this is intentional. I think it's just a guy that doesn't handle things well. The post-game Citadel thing, probably just trying to make a joke, and it fell flat because he doesn't have the awareness that other people in his position would have. I don't know. But I do know the timeline's messed up, and it's not fair to anybody involved. And so they are going to – I still think that you're not getting to the Egg Bowl without an answer. Maybe they do. Maybe they're able to quiet this down. The more days go by without anything, the easier this is going to get. But, I mean, I assume Dellinger's in Oxford. He wrote an article about it today. I mean, people are anticipating something. They're anticipating movement. I don't think it'll stay quiet until after the Egg Bowl. I don't think any party involved can wait around. I really don't. So it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. I mean, I read an article right before I came on here from the Clarion Ledger. And it was interviewing some Ole Miss players talking about what they're going to do in the bye week to avoid distractions. And what an absolute shame that it is that a 10-1 football team getting ready to play their rival have to be asked. By the way, Clarion Ledger did it's a good article, not being critical. It's a good article. It's apt. It's what should be written. But the fact that that is what can be written about a 10-1 football team about to play their rival to guarantee themselves a spot in the playoff and hosting a home playoff game, it's a shame. It's a shame that this is the story around your program and that there are some small number of people that blame people like me for this, that think that we should just ignore it. And I could not fathom thinking that a statewide radio show in Mississippi should not be talking about this. LSU picked up his family from your doorstep and flew them to Baton Rouge for a tour and then dropped them back off on your doorstep. You can't ignore that. It's an unprecedented situation, and it's being handled so very publicly. I would much rather be talking about playoff scenarios and exclusively that tonight. I think you guys deserve that. How long have you been waiting to have a team like this, spending all of your money and time and effort into Ole Miss football to get to this point, to have it be a circus that it has become? It's a shame. It really is a shame. I hope you get some clarity soon so we can go back to talking about football. But that's all I got on that. I assume there's a bunch of comments. I will say that I don't want to get repetitive, so if I skip yours, sorry. It's not intentional. It's just only have a few minutes left here, and there's a lot of them. So anyway, podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. If you're a Mississippi business and you need technology in the office, anywhere in the office, any kind of technology in that office, Advantage Business Systems has you covered at absms.com. Tell them I sent you, get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every single day. With their online banking platform, it's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because that's what they do at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority. Bank with me. It's in the name, at Priority One Bank. All right, talking basketball tonight, right? Yeah, they didn't play well, but they did finish it out good. That's all that matters. That is all that matters here. Almost minimized that. Let me see if Arkansas was able to pull it out. No, I don't want college football scores. It's not what I'm looking for. College basketball scores. Kentucky got absolutely just walloped tonight as well by Michigan State. Now, it's Michigan State, but it was not close. And Mark Pope spent like an hour in the locker room after the game before his media session. Oh, man, Arkansas won. What a shame. They beat Winthrop. And A&M, I mean, barely held on. Against Montana. So anyway, all right, more of your comments. Let me get here. Any fall ball updates? How are the pitchers looking? Oh gosh, don't even. Seems like Kiffin was trying to do a little damage control, but it's too late for that. I tend to agree. I don't think that was helpful at all. I mean, again, there's a segment of the fan base that loved that. And I see why. It was very positive and very uplifting and very energetic. It was also very inauthentic. That's just my opinion. You're free to disagree. Everyone should have known that the McAfee show today was going to be a nothing burger, except for the whole ultimatum thing. Other than that, that was the most obvious PR stunt. If Kiffin leaves, it would be the worst move in Ole Miss history. No, I believe that Hugh Freeze dialing massage parlors on his university-issued phone would be the worst move in Ole Miss history. I think that's a little bit worse than not handling other job opportunities as well as he needs to. Can you talk about the Kewon Lacy tweet? For those of you that didn't see it, on Twitter, so Kewon Lacy was announced as a Doak Walker semifinalist. Okay, so Ole Miss football puts out there Doak Walker Award semifinalist Kewon Lacy. Somebody named T-Money on Twitter quoted it and said, "Too bad Lane Kiffin ruining all this team has worked for, but hey," he says his, I think he's trying to say he's not for the SIP, so I understand. Congrats, Kewon Lacy. And sure enough, Kewon Lacy retweets a post saying Kiffin is ruining this team. Are ruining what this team has worked for. Now, if you guys watched the McAfee interview, you know Kewon was in there. I would be willing to bet a lot of money that he didn't even really read it and just had somebody saying congrats and hit retweet. But the fact is, your star running back shared a post online criticizing Lane Kiffin for ruining what the team has worked for. That did happen today. I have a very strong feeling that, again, it was not intentional, not really thought into. But the fact that the opportunity for that exists is just another act in this circus. Saw a clip of the interview, but Kiffin seemed really weird, like overly positive. Yep. After watching that interview, it felt completely off. Then bringing Lacy into the frame felt pre-planned. Just a shame what he's doing. Rebs at 6 in the rankings. Yes, paired with Miami, actually, which that would be an incredible environment in Oxford, getting paired with Miami for the playoff game in Oxford. That would be absolutely wild. Oklahoma, by the way, being at 8, that's really big for Ole Miss. That's like a safety net, like a losing the Egg Bowl safety net, I think. But you just got to win. Is Kiffin just doing damage control to try to get into the playoffs so he can coach with no intention of being the coach next year? I still don't believe that he's going to get a chance to coach the playoff without a long-term commitment to Ole Miss. I do not believe that. I believe that he believes that. I don't think it's going to go down like that. Hey, Bubba. Hey, boy. He might believe that. I don't believe that. It sounded to me like today that he has full intention of coaching the Egg Bowl and the playoff. Without an answer, I don't think that's possible. I really don't. You say he's a disingenuous hypocrite? The policy thing about not talking about jobs is not a line that you can use anymore. That's done. Twitter and message boards last night were all over the place. No kidding. Would love to have Lane stay. Think it's past that at this point. Some are all Tulane would definitely be interested. Ole Miss has to stand their ground to have a chance to even speak to him. That's why the timeline is so important. That's another part of this. That's why you can't let this linger into January, because your prime candidates are not going to wait around. John Summerall is not going to wait around. And I think he would be candidate number one for Ole Miss, but he's got other people wanting him. I don't think he's waiting around. Not until January. So that's another reason why. But again, I feel like I have to keep saying this because people are going to misconstrue the way that I've talked about this as, like, I think Ole Miss would be better off without Lane Kiffin. I don't. You can't argue with the results. The results are this coaching job this year has been out freaking standing. It's been awesome. Truly a great coaching job, specifically by Lane Kiffin for this season. There's no doubt about it. Great coaching job. Ole Miss would be the best possible outcome is for Ole Miss to retain Lane Kiffin for a couple of reasons. The wins, obviously, but also program perception to turn down LSU and Florida to remain. That would be a big deal. That would be a big deal. Cody says Lane is again showing his true colors. He's trying to find a way to coach these playoffs, then leave can't happen. Yeah. The way he pronounced Egg Bowl in that interview is the same tone a parent would use to convince their kid that a trip to Walmart would be a fun time. He cares about what people think about him, and a lot of the media has turned against him on this. That is, I don't know. I haven't spoken to him, but I'd be willing to bet that there's a lot of that, a surprise almost about how against him basically everybody has turned. Local fans are going to be anxious, of course, but nationally, this has not been received well at all. Interview felt weird. Never seen him act like that. He was overly enthusiastic. I have never seen him act like that before. Seemed weird and did not seem genuine. Don't get how Ole Miss is behind Tech. One loss is a lot better. What win can they hang their hat on? Have a top 8 win on the road. That's the thing, Hudson. If you look at the metrics, what pushes Texas Tech over the edge? What metric separates Texas Tech from Ole Miss to put them in front of them? Because all of the other ones are in Ole Miss's favor. That doesn't make any sense to me. Actually, it does make sense. It's a committee full of people that make decisions not exclusively based on fact. And that's why when the committee chair goes on ESPN to interview, they don't have good answers. That's why. Just don't see how it makes it all the way to the Egg Bowl next Friday. I don't either. Hope the media discourse stays the same. Don't let the tone change if he leaves. I don't think it'll change. I think people have made up their mind already. He already has Ole Miss behind the eight ball, really? I mean, what should be happening? I mean, they should have unbelievable recruiting momentum right now. And they still do, but doesn't feel the same. Think about what recruits and potential portal players are being told right now. What if he coached the Cowboys? I mean, honestly, losing a coach to the NFL is easy to stomach. So if Tulane makes the playoffs, Summerall will coach his team through the playoffs. Presumably, he'll still be available. Also make it really far, and then Kiffin leaves. See, but I don't think, like in Auburn, if they really want Summerall, which I don't know if they do or not. I think they do. They're not going to wait until January either. They need to know. It's far more likely that the G5 coach can accept another job and keep coaching. It's different for a Tulane. It's not your bitter, one of your bitter rivals that is doing this to you if you're Tulane. Think Keith has to be considering that even if Kiffin stays, we'll be right back in this position in a year or two. Ole Miss is in a good spot to hire a coach now, barring the timeline. Yeah. Has already lost the game with me. Even if he stays at Ole Miss, I know it's business, but the way that he has and is handling this is not fair to us as alumni and fans. Every single one of you, and this is a position I have that some people disagree with, and that's okay. I don't think he or anybody owes you their life, right? I don't think he owes anybody staying. It's his professional life. He can choose to go where he wants to go. I think you can handle yourself and your people with respect on your way out if you're choosing to go. And you see that too much in sports. Nobody respects their fans. And it's a thing that I've been on all the time. I'm very repetitive about it, I know. But you guys are last. And I do think, because people say, oh, Kiffin doesn't owe Ole Miss anything. Yes, he does. Some respect. All coaches and players should treat the people that are providing for them with respect, in my opinion. Doesn't mean you have to stay forever. But if they treat you well, you should treat them well also. Well, he's fulfilling the obligations of his contract. He's winning football games. Yes, he is. But you can handle yourself better than this. You can. Basketball team looked really bad tonight. Nah, they won. Doesn't matter, they won. Want him to stay, but this isn't 2022. Can put pressure on him this go-round, absolutely. The ultimatum thing was too strongly reported nationally, but we know Keith Carter is needing to have him make a decision. People just assume they had some sort of clear-cut ultimatum. Absolutely, they took that word the wrong way. But it is what it is. Is there an Ole Miss coach out there in the coaching pipeline? That's who they need. I mean, like an alum? Not one that would be a good enough candidate, but like a guy like Summerall has coached at Ole Miss previously. What do you think about Brandon Walker's theory that Ole Miss is staging this to, quote, win the press conference? I understand where he's coming from. I think he's wrong. You don't – because you're not winning. You're not winning right now, the press conference. You're not winning the PR battle. You flew your family to Baton Rouge. You all of the conversation around your playoff team is about whether or not you're going to leave. That doesn't win anything. If that's some kind of 4D chess strategy, you're really failing your people. You're failing your football team. You're failing the national discourse. Lane Kiffin nationally looks bad here. He does. I mean, gosh, I've got people calling me that have no skin in the game that are telling me that he's embarrassing himself. Seriously. I've got buddies that have no ties to Ole Miss whatsoever from South Carolina calling me saying that, like, dude, seriously, I got a call today from an old friend that was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, this is – told me that – like, brought up Tennessee, that he's pulling the same stuff he did to Tennessee and how embarrassing it was. People with no dog in the fight think that. It makes no sense to intentionally troll your fan base, to alter the discussion around your team and your season, to make it about LSU and Florida and private jets and all that. That makes no sense. And if they were doing that, what a awful miscalculation that is. This is far more likely that it's somebody that's torn and is not handling it well. Just can't figure out what to do. And in the meantime, is kind of swinging and missing. It's a bigger problem with the calendar of college football, which is downright shameful. Absolutely. I've never heard him end an interview with a hottie toddy before today. Me either. How is Florida handling things with the new trend towards LSU? Oh, I mean, they are so blind to what is possibly coming. How is Florida handling? Oh, I'm sorry. Now, you can't get a read on Lane himself, but this stuff being a circus would never happen in a place like Alabama. Pro mindset much? No kidding. Need to do at least one call-in show a week. I don't have the technology for that. I can bring in other people to like video chat, but I don't just have like the opportunity for an audio call, I don't believe. Can McAfee have the Louisiana governor on? Need him to get back in front of a microphone. That's funny. Egg Bowl feels like a must-win after those rankings. Some chaos around would help ease some nerves. I told you guys. I tried to tell you guys that this whole they're a lock for the playoff was wrong. How much have you heard? And anything this might be affecting the players? Well, I told you guys on Sunday that there is some number of players that are annoyed and frustrated and don't like this. The idea that none of them care at all and it's all about money and stuff, I don't agree with that. And I know that that is not the case. I'm not guessing. I know that there is a number of players that are fed up with this and are annoyed and are talking about it and they don't like what's going on. Let's talk about the great players that make up this team instead. I would love to. I would love to. But if I ignored this, then I would just be, I mean, you just want somebody to have their head buried in the sand. That's what you want. This is all that anybody is talking about or listening to or anything. It's unfortunate. It sucks. I don't want to be talking about this. I don't think, like I told you guys before, I don't think that you guys deserve this to be the conversation around a 10-1 football team. But that's what it is. And if I just sat here and ignored that and just talked about the great players, I wouldn't actually be doing my job. I would be running propaganda. Let's see. I'm gonna have to scroll past a little bit. Assume Trinidad will win the Connerly with a good Egg Bowl since he's the nominee. I understand why he was. But I think Lacey should have been. PR for Ole Miss is off the charts. Make it about whatever, but you're promoting your brand, and the Ole Miss brand has never been bigger. Ole Miss nationally looks good so far. We'll see if that continues. When are we ever going to hear from Keith Carter? There's no benefit to him talking right now. There's no benefit. Nightmare scenarios, Ole Miss letting this lead to an Egg Bowl loss. Lane leaves, and Ole Miss gets left without that point of, or left out with that point of him leaving in particular reference. Wouldn't be surprised if that's a thing. I wish we did too about collective money. I wish we had those numbers. I agree with you there. Will be interesting to see Kiffin out and around Oxford the next 2 weeks. I think he'd be largely left alone, but would also not be surprised if there's some avoidant. I mean, there's a Oxford High playoff game this weekend. He even said in one part of the interview, Pat, you're supposed to be helping us. Exactly. Keith was talking to a lot of fans of the basketball game today. Wouldn't surprise me. What would we all be talking about this time of year if this wasn't going on? Playoff scenarios. That's what we would be doing. Playoff scenarios. And it'd be fun. It'd be a lot of fun. I think Thursday we'll be able to, because this, I think, is going to die down some, hopefully. Pate had another good segment on Kiffin tonight. What did he say? What did he say? Problem is Keith is allowing Kiffin to control the narrative. I actually don't think so. I think the narrative is heavily in favor of Ole Miss, especially around the quote-unquote ultimatum. Yeah, I read both Pat Forty and Dan Wilkins' columns, and they were both good. The 30 for 30 years from now about this is going to be crazy. Oh, you have no idea. I think the situation after Auburn in 22 has only made the Ole Miss fan base stronger. And I do like that there's a unification in you guys, because like I don't buy tickets, I don't give money. That's not my role in this. So that's why I keep saying you guys. You know me. I'm right alongside you. But the unified nature of, all right, love what he's done, would love for him to stay, but enough is enough. You didn't have that in 2022. It was, oh, God, please, no, coach, please don't leave. Please don't leave. We love you so much. And by this time it's, I don't want you to, but, man, time to grow up a little bit. It's a clear shift in fan base mood, and I think that's a good thing. I think that the fan base overall is acting different, and it's a really good thing. The message board said the Ole Miss practice sucked today. I wouldn't be surprised by that. The owner of the company you work for was talking to Carter. Tell me about how that conversation went. And sorry, guys, I know I've got to skip a lot of chats. We're already 40 minutes in, and there's just too many. What's my Egg Bowl prediction with all the chaos? Ask me on Tuesday of next week, and then I'll tell you. I don't think he's lost the locker room yet. I do know some players are annoyed. I know that. Some of them are. Some of them maybe not. Some of them are. Thoughts on James Franklin to Virginia Tech and how Arkansas is in dire straits? I think he'll do very well at Virginia Tech. He is a good football coach. He did well at Penn State. I think he's got a ceiling. But if you're Virginia Tech, he's got a hell of a high floor. And so it's a good hire. I have no idea what Arkansas is going to do. No idea. He hasn't even mentioned the Aflac logo, which is a big deal. He seems strange. Force the interview. Yeah, for all the amount of tweeting that you do, the non-acknowledgement of, especially considering how hard a lot of people worked to get that done, that's a really big deal to have a non-local corporate sponsor on your field. Nobody has that. Took a lot. And, yeah, whatever. Wish the selection process was completely open, as do I. Who are some names that nobody has heard of when the coaching carousel starts? It's a good question. I don't think that'll be the route that they go. I think it'll be a very cut and dry prime candidates, one of them gets the job type situation. Also with the super chat, thank you, man. Really, really, really appreciate you. As always, you are the man. You don't send your family to towns and not sign an extension if you were staying, giving him everything he's asked for. And if he stays, he's going to have to apologize to a lot of people. That won't happen, but as long as you win, everything will take care of itself. If he walked away, it would tell me he didn't believe in his program and players to win in the playoffs. Would he have left at this point if Florida and LSU came open last year? Yes, I think so. If I read that correctly. Do you see that Siski said Lane texted him after he called him out? Crazy that the coach might be watching these podcasts, lines up with the sudden shift in the tone about Ole Miss. Well, and don't forget, because of Tyler's profession, like there's there's a personal relationship there. I don't think he would ever call me. But since, you know, there was a crossover in that, but Okay, Jack, you're trolling. There's no way. You're trolling. At practice today, Daughtry hit Lacey and turned to Kiffin and said, take that stuff to Florida. Sources, a player on the team. I'll need to see more than that. That actually would be kind of funny, to be honest with you, from Daughtry, but I would be surprised if they were doing good on good at practice today and letting Kiwon Lacey get hit on a Tuesday, just, what, 48 hours after he had 30 carries. Yeah. But it's a pretty good attempt, though. Pate talked more about how Ole Miss fans have the right to be mad about Lane dragging this out and having it so public. Also said, we still know nothing. Don't buy any of the garbage being sent out. Pretty spot on. As of today, I have Ole Miss winning the Egg Bowl by about 10 to 14 points, but this drama can change that. Also, defensively, they've been horrible. And they can't protect the quarterback. And, I mean, it's not like they're in good shape going into this either. Keep hearing about lots of Ole Miss fans going to make the trip to Starkville a lot. One thing about the Ole Miss, about this is the Ole Miss brand is thriving. Yes, it absolutely, absolutely is. I don't know if this is a 1+1 situation, but yes, I did see that the most expensive listed home in Gainesville was sold today. And was it really Mullen's old house? Jeez. If the admin tries to let Kiff coach the playoff, could you see a genuine protest boycott of the game? Nope. Absolutely not. I would very strongly disagree with that decision if that's what it comes down to. But no, you have to take in a playoff game. You have to. If that's what happens, you got to go. You got to figure it out. Even if you can't get a ticket to the game, you got to be in town. You've got to experience that for yourself. I told you guys before, I did it with Furman games. And the I'll never forget how amazing that felt. And that was for Furman. Think about what it's going to feel like there, you know? Do I think Ole Miss and State both have new coaches by 27? Yep. Yep, I do. I would bet on that today. Because, guys, Florida State hasn't even come open yet. Florida State's still not open yet. What if Sark loses to Texas A&M? So, no, this isn't done. This is not done at all. Although all this stuff is going to be all people keep talking about the NFL. NFL GMs are going to look at this and think, oh, I'm not touching that. No way. Mm-mm. It's unserious. Now, maybe one out of the 32 decides to go for it. But this is off-putting to people. Boosters in particular, at Ole Miss and elsewhere, can't stand this stuff. Imagine saying Ole Miss hosts a playoff game without their head coach. I can't even believe that's even on the table at all. That's even a thing that is being discussed. But it is where we are, both in the calendar, which is unfair, but also, yeah. Anyway, all right, guys, I got to run. Really, really appreciate you. Thank you for being a part as always, and I'll see you on Thursday. Hopefully. Nothing happens between now and then, so we can just kind of look at the bracket and have some fun. Hopefully, I'll see you then. Hey, Bobo.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.